Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So are you looking forward to heaven? Or are you one of those who lives more in the here and now? Are you anxiously awaiting that day when Jesus returns so that you can sit down at the banquet, the feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb, as Scripture pictures it for us? Or are you thinking more about what's for lunch in just a little while, or maybe about a special meal tomorrow on the 4th? As God's people, you have every reason to be looking forward, to be looking past the here and now, to have your mind set on the day when Christ returns to make all things new, to remove all the things that cause people to sin and to suffer, especially as you realize more and more as you live how deceptive and destructive sin is, especially as you suffer more and more here in this life. God's people have every reason to look forward to the day when Christ will return and invite you to sit with him at that banquet in heaven. But if you're one of those who deals more with the here and now, even then God doesn't disappoint. The banquet that you heard of in the gospel today, Jesus' parable of the great banquet, is not the banquet in heaven. It's another banquet, a different banquet related to the other, but it's a banquet that's here on earth. In fact, if you decline the invitation to this banquet here and now, you won't find a place at the heavenly banquet. You have to understand, the banquet is here. The banquet is now. The setting for Jesus' parable is the house of a Pharisee who had invited Jesus to a little banquet there so that, as it says, the other Pharisees could watch him and keep an eye on him and see if they could find something he said or did that they could use against him later. And as usual, Jesus took the opportunity to warn the Pharisees of their pride, of their self-centeredness, which displayed itself on this occasion in that all of them ran to find the most important seat at the banquet. One of them, who heard Jesus' warning, thought he might just change the subject, preach his own little sermon that day. But blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Sounds nice. But that man was missing the point. The truth was that man and his fellow Pharisees were already missing the feast in the kingdom of God, because they had Jesus right there in front of them and still didn't want him for a savior. So Jesus told the parable of a certain man who was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. That certain man was God. The invited guests were the Jews who had been invited since the time of Moses, invited in writing to come to this feast. And the feast, the banquet, was the kingdom of God. The banquet is God's salvation. The banquet is the forgiveness of sins, adoption as God's children, a place in God's household, even thrones next to God's throne. That was the banquet. And it arrived, the time for the banquet arrived when Christ arrived on the scene. Jews and Gentiles, everyone was just as lost as everyone else, just as hopeless. But God finally fulfilled his ancient promise to mankind to step into our race, to send his Son as our substitute and sacrifice, to make things all right with God. And now Jesus was here. Now the celebration could begin because God's banquet had started, salvation had come, reconciliation with God had appeared in the person and the work of Jesus. And the invitation to that banquet in Christ went out. That is the gospel. It went out in Jesus' own words, but also in the words of John the Baptist, also in the words of Jesus' disciples. Come, come and celebrate. God's banquet has begun. Repent and believe in Jesus. He is the Christ. He is your Savior from sin, death, and hell. God was excited to send his Son to make this announcement and dearly wanted those invited guests, those children of Abraham, to come and receive their Savior that God had sent to them. The message went out, the banquet is here, the banquet is now. And the Jews said, "We are busy, thank you." As the parable went, the master of the banquet sent out his servant to announce to the invited guests that the time for the banquet was ready, that come, for everything is now ready. And they made excuses. They all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." That describes how most of the Jews received Jesus when he came. For the most part, they weren't murderers, they weren't adulterers, they weren't outwardly wicked people. They were average people, people you see on the street. But they were people who thought they had better things to do than to listen to Jesus and his word. They were people who had works of their own to offer for God rather than to rely on Jesus' work and Jesus' righteousness. They were people who had another way to be saved rather than to rely on Jesus for salvation. They were people who had plenty of human relationships to keep them satisfied enough that they didn't really need Jesus in their lives. The banquet was called, and the invited guests said, "We're busy." And that made God angry. To hear the gospel of Jesus who would shed his blood for all people, to hear the gospel that God had prepared a banquet for them and wanted them there in his house with them, and then to say, "I'm busy." No, God would not put up with that. But notice what he does in his anger. He doesn't call off the banquet. He doesn't go off in a huff. He doesn't take his Son back up into heaven and say, "You don't want him, you don't get him." He simply extends the invitation to other people. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." See how God shamed the proud and the wise and the self-righteous. He invited the crippled and the poor. He invited little children, the foolish. He invited tax collectors, thieves, prostitutes, sinners. And the wise were shamed, and the arrogant were put down. It didn't matter what kind of people would be in the house. All that mattered was the invitation and that the people receive the invitation and enter. All that mattered was that God sent his Son who did everything for everybody and that people believe in his Son. The invitation was sincere to all, was real to all. Those were the ones, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the foolish, the little children. Those were the ones who heard Jesus' invitation to come to him and find rest in him, and they did. Such is God's wisdom. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Well, that wouldn't do. Not at this banquet. The master of this banquet, God, is not satisfied to have a few in his house. He wants it filled. And so he sends out his servant again. Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. These are the Gentiles and everyone else who would hear the gospel invitation to believe in Christ, God's Son, and be saved, to sit down at this banquet and celebrate. Paul talked about that in the second lesson today. You heard it. He was talking to you. He talked about two men, Israel and everybody else, and how in Christ all barriers and dividing walls between the first invited guests and the next invited guest is gone, erased. And now there's just the invitation to all people. Here is Christ. Believe in him. Sit down at the banquet with God and dine with him. You have a gracious Father in heaven through faith in this Jesus. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Come to the banquet. Those who believe receive everything that God has to offer. They already feast with God at this holy banquet and are guaranteed a place at the future banquet in heaven. Those who don't believe, but instead decline the invitation to come to Jesus and rest in him, they miss out not only on the banquet that is here and now, but on the banquet that is to come. Jesus' words to the Pharisee were very harsh. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. This gospel today is rich in comfort for us here and now. The Father's will is clear that his house should be filled and that it shouldn't be filled with good people. That who you are, what you've done, has nothing to do with the invitation. It's to the lame, it's to the crippled, it's to sinners, it's to the people along the country roads and the country lanes. And that's you and me, Gentiles who have heard the invitation and the Holy Spirit has called us through it, worked in us repentance and faith, and through faith we are even now feasting on the love of God in Christ Jesus. A feast, a banquet that goes on each and every day. Here and now, all the time. It's a banquet that we're gathered at right now as we sit around the words of Jesus and hear of him, hear his parable, hear his invitation. It's a banquet that we're about to celebrate with bread and wine, as a banquet should be, where we'll feast at the banquet of Jesus' body and blood, the food of immortality. It's here. It's now. You don't have to wait for it. And that banquet will accompany you home too. As you take the word and the sacrament of Christ home with you, in your ears, in your heart, in your body, and you live under him in his kingdom, with every word that you say, with every deed that you do, as you serve him in his kingdom as your Lord and King, with all that you are and all that you have. But there is a warning for us in this gospel too. We are no better than the Jews. We deserve to sit at the banquet of God and his salvation no more than those first invited guests did. And the day that we become too busy or too bored to sit down at the banquet of Christ, to hear his word, to treat him as our king, That day we joined the unbelieving Jews outside the banquet hall of God. Does that mean you're obligated, under duress, to come to church here at every service and at every Bible class? No. But consider this. Jesus doesn't say, come hear my word every now and then and be content with that. Instead, he says through the apostle, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And he says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The sacrament, too, is part of the banquet that God sets out for us. And every time that his word is preached and every time that his sacrament is administered, he is really and truly calling and inviting, come, celebrate the banquet. We offer it here for those who want to receive the comfort of Christ's pledge of forgiveness every week. Does that mean that you are obligated to come and commune every week? Or every time it's offered? No, you're not. But consider this. Jesus' invitation says, do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't say despise this. It doesn't say leave this undone. And as Luther rightly said in the Catechism, those who intentionally, with nothing hindering them, go a long time without communing cannot be considered Christians. Why? Because this is Christ's invitation to come to him and receive him, to receive his body and blood. Those who go a long time intentionally with nothing to hinder them without accepting this invitation cannot be considered Christians, because a Christian and God's word and sacrament go hand in hand. So what do you do if you find that you don't yearn for the sacrament of Christ? You don't feel it. You don't see it. Luther's advice 500 years ago was just as appropriate as it is today. First of all, if you find yourself like that, where you hear this invitation to come and dine at this banquet, and you say, I don't really feel the need. First, you should stick your hand in your shirt and feel to see if you still have flesh and blood. If so, then you had better believe what the scriptures say about that flesh, that it is a wicked thing and a corrupt thing and prone to every manner of wickedness. Second, you should look around you to see if you are still in the world. And if you can't figure it out that way, then you need to ask somebody next to you if you're still here. If so, you will have every manner of temptation and misery before you. And besides all that, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And if Christ himself suffered when he was tempted, don't think that you'll have an easier time of it. Wake up from your busyness and your boredom. Wake up from your coldness and indifference. Hear your Savior's invitation to come. Come and dine with me in my Father's house. Dine with me now. You don't have to wait until you die. Those who dine with me here and now will never die. The banquet is here. The banquet is now. Come, for everything is now ready. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.